y'all don't act a little more excited, we have to get up and do calisthenics here or something. Although I will say this morning, I will confess myself, I had to fight off the old spirit that I was a pretty nice sleeping this morning. Looking outside, it was all nice and cool. And woo! Praise God, y'all are overcomers more than conquerors. You made it to church this morning. Proverbs chapter 3. Last week I read, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. How many of y'all like to have a path that would be directed? You know, I like road signs in life. I've had some road signs in life. I've had some road signs in life point and say, stop, don't go down here. And I didn't heed those. I've had the road signs that says slow, you know, 30 mile an hour curve, and I was doing 75 and didn't stop, didn't slow. I've had a few road signs in life, but I've had a few good road signs in life too, saying, yes, this is the right thing to do. Amen? Okay, but I want my paths directed. Well, if you do that by trusting the Lord, not leaning to your own understanding, acknowledging Him in all your ways, He's going to do that. He goes on and says, do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Verse 9 is what I want you to see this morning. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Folks, let me tell you something about honoring the Lord. You know, the Bible says that the very breath that's within your lungs belongs to Him. A lot of times, and I think a lot of problems with America right now and a lot of things that are going on in America, is they keep forgetting that the breath that's within their lungs came from God Almighty. And man keeps wanting to think that we're invincible, that we can do anything, and that we are in charge, and we're in charge of our lives, and we got it all figured out. And I hate to tell them, but that is not the truth. The truth of the matter is, it all belongs to God, even the very breath within our lungs. And until you come to a place in your life that you're honoring Him with your time, with your life, your prayers, your vision, your focus, and yeah, your money, you're going to always be resting, because it's always about the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Whose kingdom are you building? By whose power are you doing it? And who's going to get the glory? And when you come to the place in your life that everything you do, your whole life, you want to honor God in it. That means if you're going to go to the grocery store and come home, you're still wanting to honor God. You keep that mentality in your mind. When you're doing a job, you want to do it excellent because you want to honor God in what you're doing. Folks, listen to me. It starts taking the weight off of your shoulders. It starts changing everything in life because all of a sudden He's in the driver's seat and you're just the passenger. And that's the place we want to be in life. Amen? So look at the person beside you and say, honor God. Amen. Well, ushers, help me. If you need an offering envelope, lift up your hands. They'll get you one. And put your hand over your offering this morning. Let's pray. Father, I just declare right now in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that we honor you in everything that we do. Lord, you are the source of our life. You're everything. You are the breath within our lungs today. You're the spirit within us, oh God. And so, Lord, we just stop this morning and we just say thank you, Lord, for everything in our lives. And we honor you. We thank you that you are in control, not us, oh God. And Lord, we just praise you for that and trust in you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. John chapter 18, and I want to start talking to you this morning about truth. I've been preaching this message about how God can come into your lives and surround you in life, surround you with a hedge of angels, surround you with a hedge of love, surround you with a hedge of life, surround you with a hedge of the blood of Jesus, surround your family with a hedge of salvation so all of your family members will get saved. And today I want to talk about surrounding you with a hedge of truth. Now, let me just read this passage of scripture about Jesus' own words here and found in the book of John chapter 18, we'll start reading verse 33. It says, then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, this is when Jesus is about to be crucified. He said to him, are you king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him and said, are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you of this concerning me? And Pilate answered and said, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. And what have you done? And Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. And Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered and said, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate answered and said, what is truth? You know, that's a word, that's a phrase, it's a sentence that's ringing out even in the world today. What's truth? I made mention of this here a while back, that no matter what goes on in this world, no matter, you know, I heard one the other day, you know, used to, doctors were saying, and I'm by no means saying this is right or wrong, but I'm saying doctors used to always say if you took an aspirin a day, that it was good for, as a heart, to keep from having heart attacks in your life. That was a good medical practice, and they did that. Well, then they came out with a study here the other day and says, no, we found that if you took an aspirin, a day, it's really bad for you. And I'm like, no matter what they come out with, no matter what anybody says, there's always going to be some other person over here come up with some other, the argument against it and say, well, it's not any good. It's like no one really wants truth. Everybody just wants an argument. The way and if you just have to excuse me for being redneck, but the way I decided which one was right over that argument, that study that said it wasn't any good came out of Scotland, and they couldn't even keep the Lockerbie bomber in jail, so what do they know? So I just threw that one out and said, heck with that, those boys don't know nothing anyway. The point is like the world doesn't want to know truth. The world wants to know an argument. And the Bible, right here, when Jesus is standing before Pilate, Pilate said, well, what's truth? In other words, even maybe he had come to this understanding in that day and time. This is not something new. But if you preach Jesus is the only way to salvation, then there's somebody else who said, no, that can't be right. Oh, God loves everybody. Everybody's going to get saved. Everybody's going to go to heaven. And then you get one church that says, no, this is the way you're supposed to worship God. And you get another church that says, no, this is the way you're supposed to worship God. We're as bad as Christians as the rest of the secular world over here arguing about everything. And I'm saying, look, if we're going to walk, the Bible promises us, Jesus himself said, I came on this earth to be a bear witness to truth. So there is truth out there. There's a line of truth. There's something you can grab hold of that will come into your soul and will speak, yes, this is right. But how do we find it? Now, I've told y'all know this, if you've been here for any length of time, if you're a guest, you know, listen, I'm a redneck. I came from a ranching family all my life. I've been a cowboy all my life. I see things black and white. I can't even understand stuff, you know, that a lot of people get all, you know, up in arms about. And we see so much going on today in our government and everything that's going on. And I want to try to this morning present to you what I believe the Bible says about finding truth. And that if you find truth, it says it'll bring peace to your life. If you find truth, it'll bring health to your life. If you find truth and walk in truth, it says it'll guard your paths. It'll be everything. It'll be your shield and your buckler in life. But we've got to have a litmus test to test everything to see if it's truth or not. Because, you know, we're fed information all the time. So let's go to the Word of God. Let me show you a few things about what Jesus said about truth, okay? I want to stay in the book of John because John was a person that was always talking a lot about truth. Let's go to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus is talking with his disciples. And he says in verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, so he's speaking to the believing Jews, right? I mean, he's speaking to, we'll say Christians at that time, right? He's not speaking to the world. He said, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth, listen to me, folks. The only way you're ever going to find truth in life is you have to have something to compare the information that comes into your life to something. You with me? The something you're comparing it to is the Word. So when you take the Word, no matter what size the Word comes in, big Word, little Word, right? And whatever you're going to do in life, whatever's coming about you, whatever, I'm telling you what, if you can use this if you're just trying to figure out how to get your car fixed. If you're going, where to go buy groceries. Or major decisions in your life. If you can come and understand what the Word says, the Word of God says, then you compare everything against the Word. And if it doesn't line up with the Word, it's not truth. It's that simple. It's that simple. You say, well, Pastor, it can't be that simple. I mean, it's kind of difficult. It's really not. The problem is we don't want to do it. The problem is we don't want to hear what the Word says. The problem is we don't really want to agree with it, because sometimes when you're going to have to agree with the Word, it means that you have to change your course. And we don't want to change our course. We want it to be easy, man. We want it to fall in lap. Man, I myself, I'm guilty too. I don't want to have to pray. I don't want to have to read. You say, that's horrible. The preacher said that. It's easier to lay on the couch, eat potato chips, watch TV. That's easier. Ice cream. It's easier. Our flesh naturally wants that road. We want to just go right down that road. We don't want to go. We don't want to have to work at anything. And you can't look at yourself and say, oh, I'm such a horrible person because, you know, I feel like this. Listen, you're made out of dirt. All of us are. He picked us up from a swamp hole and made us into clay. I mean, you know, come on. You're just dirt. So how in the world could you think that you're naturally going to just, in your own ability, want to do what's always right and, you know, pay the price? Right? But Jesus said, listen, if you abide in my word, you're going to know. And so everything that's going on in life has to be lined up with the word. Now, you know, I always, you just have to forgive me. You know, I'm really stirred up about what's going on in America today, because people are not comparing anything to the word of God. They don't even think about it. But then when they want something done, I actually heard. This is a good example, okay? Listen to me. There's no health care bill actually been presented yet. So I can't argue that I don't agree with the bill, because there's really no one certain health care bill put out there. But the world's all talking about the health care bill, right? Everything's about health care. Health care. Okay, I got so infuriated the other day. If I could have figured out who to call, I would have called. I wanted to get on the talk show program somewhere. I just wanted to scream and rant and rave, because I got so angry. Because a person that was and I'm not trying to promote liberals or conservatives, because actually I'm mad at everybody. All right? I want that known. I'm mad at everybody. I don't like Democrats, Republicans, nobody at this point right now. I'm mad at everybody. So I'm not trying by any means to promote one party or the other, because I ain't talking about parties. I'm talking about truth. But one of the parties that never once that took God out of school, that worked to get the Ten Commandments removed from every courthouse, to get God removed from everything, came on promoting their party and they tried to turn it and on conservative people and say, look, I can't even understand why you people wouldn't want everybody to have health care. What would Jesus do? And when he said that, I just was like, what? Now you think God's going to benefit you, and so you're going to use that to your advantage, and, you know, this God, Jesus would want this. And so I'd have stopped right there, because I'd been studying this message about truth. I said, okay, let's compare it to the Word. Like I said, I don't know what all the health care bill has in it, but let's just compare it to the Word. Would Jesus want that? Would it be biblical to hurt 250 million people to get 5 million people better care? Would that make sense to do it that way? No, Jesus was efficient about everything. He took a little boy's lunch, multiplied it, fed everybody, and then picked up 12 baskets full when it was left over. He never looked at something going to be less. He looked at everything to be more. Jesus never took away from someone and gave it to someone else, and that person had less. He took away from the little boy and made more. The kid went home with his lunch saying, "Mama, look at this." Man, he had 12 baskets full of stuff. Come on. That's not truth. You cannot use Jesus that way and say, "Oh, well, he just cares for the poor." And I care for the poor people. Man, there's nobody in the world that cares more for poor people than I do. Man, this church, we have been blessers and givers and helpers, but I don't want somebody telling me who to give to. I want it to be by the Spirit of God directing me, because that's truth. God directs. There's no blanket program. Listen to me, I've said that about this church the whole time. I said, look, if orphans are near and dear to your heart, this is a good place to be, because we believe in rescuing orphans and going over all over the country and all over the world. You'll know what we do for orphans. But if that's not your cup of tea, that's okay. You're still welcome to come here and worship with us, but I'm not going to tell you you have to do that. Because if that's not what God's directing your heart, then aren't I wrong? Because why did I just become God to tell you what to do? See, truth is you have to line it up with the Word. You have to measure the Word. You can't just take something that is giving a godly principle. Right? It is. It's having compassion, a godly principle. Is seeing lack and meeting the need, a godly principle. But you can get that thing twisted around and it not be really God's direction, because you didn't find truth in what was going on. Okay. I guess I made my point on that. I probably ought to just get off of it. Everything that comes about in your life, you have to weigh it with truth. It's not you're asking God, "Oh, God, give me truth." He did. He gave it to you. It's right here. It's called the Word of God. And you have to line that principle up with what's going on. You have to compare it one to the other. And then you can see what is truth. And then when you see what's truth, you just do it and it's going to work out right. Okay, here's another truth. Let me change it. Let's get off the subject of that. let's go to something else that's near and dear to heart. Marriage. If you're still mad at your husband for what he did 13 years ago, and every time you get in an argument today, you bring up 13 years ago, you remember what you did. Well, then you've never operated in the truth of forgiveness, because the Bible says that you're to forgive one another. You've never operated in forgiveness. So if you've never operated in forgiveness, how could you have truth in your marriage? So you have to apply the principles of God to the situation if you want truth to prevail in your lives. You say, "Well, but you don't understand, Pastor. He's the idiot that did it." I know he is. But so are you, the idiot that Jesus had to die on the cross for. So it's interesting how we always want Jesus to forgive us and we'll accept his forgiveness so quickly, but it's hard for us to give forgiveness out. Now, I've forgiven a lot of people. Doesn't mean I like them and I want to go, you know, hang around them all the time. But I'm not going to keep them in unforgiveness. Didn't mean, Jesus never said you had to be their best buddy. It's a very important point to know about truth. Righto? I mean, Jesus only took three up to the Mount of Transfiguration with him. He left everybody else down at the bottom. There's a good example. So they want to put truth out to say, oh, well, Jesus, you have to accept all things and everybody's one big happy family living in a commune. Jesus didn't live like that. You see, folks, if you don't take the Word of God and use it as the truth, Jesus said, man, I have come, my whole life has come, my kingdom is about telling people truth. Revealing the truth to them. Getting the truth out there so that if you get truth in your life, then you have something to compare every event that comes into your life. You have something to compare it to see if you're walking in truth or not. Let's go to another one here. Let's go to John. Stay in John. Let's go to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, he said unto himself, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How are you going to get around that? How are you going to get around that? You can't get around that. Right? You can't get around that. I don't care what anybody says. So listen, God's not like that. God's a loving God. He loves everybody. He does. He loved everybody so much, he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the earth for us all. He made a way that all men could be saved. It's not a club. It's not a clique. It's open and available to everyone, no matter how gnarly or how nice. Right? No matter what you did, no matter if you're the axe murderer or you've been in Sunday school and raised in church all your life, he's there for everybody, right? But everybody has to do something about it. They have to invite Jesus into their life. He's made a way. So you can't come up with a doctrine and say, well, God loves everybody. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody's going to just feel, it's just going to be one big deal. It doesn't make any difference if you serve Buddha or Allah or whatever you do. You just go through there and then you all make it. Everybody's going to get there. Well, if we're all going to get there, then I don't want to be nice. It's easier to just be ugly. It's easier to be ugly to the clerk that's doing something ridiculous. It's easier just to me, just mean and raunchy and do whatever you want to, say whatever you want to, do wherever you want to, however you want to. Like I said, man, I was raised cowboy. You know, nice is the second thought I have. And the only reason why I have that one is because Jesus came into my life and saved me. And so he comes in and says, you can't do that. And then I say, okay. But the first thought wasn't good. And I have to overcome that. And he gives me the power, and I do, and I go on because I live for him, because I believe it's right, because I believe the truth says that no matter what I want to do in myself, my ugliness, my way, it's not going to prevail. It's not going to bring any benefit in my life. It's not going to bring a blessing. You know, I tell this story all the time, and you've probably already heard it, but I'm going to tell it again. I pulled into a gas station one night, and I was in a hurry, and it was late, and I was tired. And I go to the gas pump, and I go to put my card in, and I put my card in right quick, and it says see clerk or whatever. You know, I'm like, what? You know, bang, 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 one of the stupid things. I put it in there, and I'm in a hurry. And, you know, I'm just not thinking about anything. I'm just trying to get home. And it won't take my card. And so I'm like, I can't believe this. And I look at a little sign over. It says, after dark, you have to go into the inside to pay. And I'm like, what? You know, what is going to do? I got a credit card. I mean, why can't this work? You know, and I'm just thinking, what kind of a foolish place? I don't want to walk in there. If I wanted to walk in there, you know, I'd have walked in there. I don't know that. I'm out here. I want to get gas. I want to go. And so I just seemed like, I just can't believe this. So I went inside and I said, is there probably one of my card work out here? And the clerk said, well, I have to turn on from in here and you just leave your credit card. And I'm like, well, I was going to put it in the pump out there. And I thought, I'll just forget it. And so I just gave her my credit card and said, just turn it on, okay? And so we went out there and I got it. So I put it in there and I said, man, so now I'm just getting madder and I'm just starting to boil. I'm like, that person is not the owner of this place, but this is ridiculous. And she's going to have to take it because I have had enough. I want to tell them how stupid this is. And so I walked back in there and I just about to just say, and the person looked at me and says, excuse me, are you Pastor Robert Richards? And I just said, oh, Jesus, you know? And I said, yes, I am. And she said, I listen to you on the radio every day. I'm just so glad to meet you. And I'm like, oh, God. Thank you for just keeping me from being a complete rear end in this situation. You see, God has that way of working within our lives to try to get us to walk in what's truth. I would have not been productive to have done that. Would I have felt better? For a moment. But look what I'd have done. It God saved me from. Okay. The point is truth is always there. But if we don't stop and take time to compare what's going on in life with the truth of the Word of God, and you don't make it a point of your life that at every event, at every turn of the road in your life, you're comparing everything to the Word. You go to the doctor. The doctor says, look, I got a bad report for you. You say, well, listen, the Bible says, whose report am I going to believe? Isaiah 53 says, I can believe the report of the Lord. So you go ahead and tell me what you want to, but I just want you to know I'm believing God's report over your report. I believe God's word over your word. That would be truth. That's wisdom. That's truth. You've compared it to the truth. Are you with me? Listen to me. The devil does not have the last word. Circumstances and situations upon this earth do not have the last word. The events that take place in your life, they do not have the last and final word. Jesus is the only one that has the final word. If you choose to be led down the road that is not of truth, you will be deceived and you will get off and you will miss the turn. You will miss the road. Folks, I'm telling you, it doesn't make any difference what you're doing. Every business decision has to be weighed against the truth of the word. Jesus said, I'm the way, he's the road, he's the path. He said, I'm the truth. That word truth is an interesting word because it's taken really from two words one word. And the word's Althea, but the word starts with an A, and it's the first word, and it means the beginning. And the second word, it means to not be hidden. So when you walk in truth, it's the beginning of not hiding anything in your life. Let's take another example. When you go and you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror, and when you look in the mirror and you see something you don't like, you have a choice. You have a choice. Are you going to believe that God fearfully and wonderfully created you and that you're special and unique because God created you? Are you going to believe that the life and the breath within you come from God and that he has a plan for your life? And a purpose for your life, because that's what the word says. That no matter where you go, no matter how raunchy you can get in life, God's still there to love you. Or no matter how arrogant and full of yourself you can get in life, God's still there to love you. That's truth. That's truth. You're going to take that truth into your life? You see, it's when we have that relationship with Jesus and we come to his feet, like that song said Laura was singing, and we come to his feet and we begin to look at him and say, Lord, I just want your truth in my life, that he can come in there and he can begin to open your heart and reveal to you the areas of your life you've not walked in truth. And when he opens up those areas of your life, then you start to see the truth. The truth, according to what the word says, sets you free from oppression. It sets you free from lies. It sets you free from every junk that the devil would want to throw in your life. Every time you felt insecure, every time in life you felt, you know, inferior, every time that anything in life has come against you, all of a sudden, it's gone because truth sets you free. I don't know about y'all. I started a long time ago believing that God loved me, and that changed my life. When I began to say, well, I don't know, nobody else may love him, but God loves me. And I started saying, well, hey, how much does he love me? Well, he loved me enough to send his son to die for me. That's a lot of love. And that started to change my life, because then all of a sudden I said, well, wait a minute, Jesus, if you would do that for me, that's unbelievable. Then I started to believe that God, you know, he'd forgive me. Then I started to believe that he had prospered me. Then I started to believe that, you know, that I could walk in his truth in every day of my life. But if you're not taking those instances in your life, those events in your life, those thoughts in your life, and comparing them to what the Word of God says, it's the only thing you have got to compare it to. I don't care what Oprah said. I don't care what Dr. Phil said. I don't care. If they're not lining up with the Word of God, then I don't want to listen to it. God bless them. They mean good. I don't know, but that ain't what I want to hear in life. I want to know what Jesus said. I want to know what his truth says about my life. And I don't want to believe a lie. I don't want to walk in a lie. Have you noticed that no matter how much you try to modify your behavior, that about the time you get to a place you feel pretty good about, you've done good, that then all of a sudden something comes up and then you feel like, I didn't get anywhere. You know, you go on a diet and you lose 10 pounds and you feel really good about yourself, and then somebody comes up to you and says, have you lost some weight? You look like you've lost a couple of pounds. And you say, well, it's 10 to be exact, fool. Right? I mean, there's always something there to, the devil always has it set up to kind of kick your legs out from under you somehow. Right? But if you walk in truth, then no matter what it is, you're going to find truth. And then when you find truth, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and then I'm the life, and life comes in you. And true Zoe life, the life of God, not life like you're on the Miller High Life, not that kind of life, the life. Not the temporal life, but the life of God comes in you, and everything starts to smell good. Everything starts to taste good. Everything starts to look good. Everything starts to change in life. You start to see things as not the glass is half empty, but the glass is half full kind of life. The life that you can believe that even though there's a problem, that you believe something good's going to come around the corner, that no matter what lunatic you run into in life, that is God's got something better. You see, I can sit around and watch the news and just get, and if I listen to that, I can just let it just totally get control of my brain. And then I start to develop my whole world. And the next thing I know, man, you know, I'm buying more shells and backing up into the corner and y'all with me? I mean, does that happen? Tell me y'all are also redneck like me. Okay. Thank you. You know, because you start to think, well, the only thing I can be in control of is either shave my head or buy some more shells. And my wife tells me I can't shave my head because I'd look like a psycho. And I said, well, that might be handy. Okay? But you got to have truth. You got to balance everything with truth. The Word has to come into your life. It has to be balanced with everything that's going on. So what does the Word say? Well, the Word says, I'm not going down, I'm going up. The Word says that no matter what comes against me, that I'm going to overcome it and I'm going to be victorious. The Word says that I've already won in the end. I've already got a mansion sitting in heaven. I've already, you know, I already got everything lined up. I already know that I win. It's going to be good. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to win. I don't know how. I don't know how Goliath, he got hit in the head with a rock. You know, if I got to have a rock, I'll get a rock. I got to have a sling, I get a sling. You know, whatever it takes, but there's going to be victory. Do you know how hard it was for David as a young boy? He may have just been crazy, you know, zealous. But do you know how hard it would have been to run at a giant? That all of the army of Israel, the mighty men of Israel, they weren't all wimps. They weren't all, you know, Nancy boys. They were mighty men in that army that old Goliath threw fear into them and caused the whole army to tremble. Nobody questioned to even go out and fight with him, but he got up and said, oh man, I've been out skinning the bark off trees with my sling. I killed the lion and the bear just because he was protecting sheep. Listen to me, church. If you can get truth working in your life, and get to operating in truth like David did, he knew that he could kill a lion and a bear, so Goliath didn't seem as big to everybody else that was not operating in truth in their lives. Goliath was huge. But he was like, man, I killed a lion and a bear. Think about that. Have any of y'all seen that video of, over in India where the lion escaped from the park or whatever it was with their cubs, and they were trying to get the cubs back, and they were on the backs of elephants going out in this grass, you know? I mean, I could tell you right off the bat, this ain't nowhere to be, right? And this grass, you know, about 3 or 4 foot high, and they're looking for this lion. Have y'all seen this? Who's seen this thing? And the next thing you know, this lion is, you can't even see the grass moving out of there, and all of a sudden this lion runs and springs and leaps so high, jumps up onto the head of the elephant. The elephant knows something's wrong. The elephant's trying to get out of there, but the trainers, or the whatever you call an elephant guy, the driver, the driver's saying, timba, timba, you know, and that lion runs and jumps and catches, it lands up on top of it, catches the guy in the belly and rips his belly and bit his hand and everything. And you see just a picture of that thing, and you think about killing a lion. And you didn't have a rifle. You got to. Have y'all ever tried to hit anything with one of those slingshots like that? I'm not talking about the deluxe wrist rocket with a marble in it. I'm talking about a leather sling, and you're actually going to kill something with it? Do good, just not hit your own self in the head with one of those stupid things. But he dealt with the truth in his life in those areas to where he was killing the lion and the bear. And so then he was like, man, I'm killing the lion and the bear. So when he saw Goliath, it wasn't that big. And if you start dealing with the truth in every area of your own life, then when the events come that are bigger than you, you still eat it the same way based on what the word says. You know, it's like, how do you eat a whale? One piece at a time. All right? Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. So if you want that Zoe life to come into you, you want it to come into you and start to have that life of God, you have to balance everything with truth. Last scripture here. Look at if you would, John 16, 13. John 16, 13 says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you of things to come. The Holy Spirit is loosed upon the face of this earth to take us into truth and to speak truth into our life if we'll just simply stop and ask him to. If you do these three scriptures, if you would abide in the Word of God, if you'd read your Bible to know what Jesus does do, right? You have to have some input. Something has to be logged in your brain. You have to know what the Bible says. You have to have seen how did Jesus... Listen, don't read your Bibles to just read the stories and see. Read your Bibles and put yourself in that place. Every time you read the gospel story and Jesus on the street, you have to put yourself in the place. You're standing right there watching it happen. That's how you read your Bible. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road. He's blind. He can't see. He has a beggar's garment on. The Bible says, I believe it's in the book of Mark, chapter 10. And so he's standing there. He's sitting there beside the road. And he hears that Jesus is coming. And so he says, Jesus is coming. Man, Jesus has been healing people. And the Bible says that he hollered out for Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And so everybody said, shut up. Listen to me. When you start to walk in truth, when you try to walk in truth, people are going to say to you, what? That's stupid. And you got to say, no, this is truth. Everything's got to be based on that. You're just some religious fanatic. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And Bartimaeus cried out. And finally, Jesus stopped and said, bring him here. So then they go over there to him and says, oh, come, the master wants to speak to you. You know, that's so wishy-washy. The world's so wishy-washy. That guy that I told you about that said, what would Jesus do? Next, we could be trying to take 10 commandments out of some courthouse, I guarantee you. He flipped back and forth, whatever. That's the way the world is. But Bartimaeus held on to a truth. He said, wait a minute, if this is the Messiah is supposed to heal, and I'm blind and I want to heal him. The Bible says when he jumped up, he threw off his beggar's garment. See, in those days, when you were a beggar, you went down and you registered as a beggar and they gave you a beggar's garment. And you put that coat on and you wore that coat. It designated that you were a beggar. Bartimaeus at that moment, when Jesus called him, he said, man, I'm getting healed. He threw off the beggar's garment and said, I don't need that thing anymore. He walked to Jesus without that garment, saying, I'll never be a beggar again. And when you come to the place in your life that you want the truth of God's word in your life, you're tired of feeling bad about yourself. You're tired of feeling stupid. You're tired of feeling inferior. You're tired of being worried. You're tired of walking in unforgiveness. You're tired of all these things. And you get like Bartimaeus and chunk off that old garment and say, I want to be who you created me to be, Jesus. I want to be who you created me to be. I don't want to be what this world tries to get me to be. I want to be who you created me to be. Bartimaeus got up to Jesus. Jesus said, what do you want? What do you want? He's blind. I mean, that seemingly is a stupid question to ask. But Jesus didn't ever ask stupid questions. Jesus asked him because he really wanted to know, because there could have been somebody coming and said, well, I just won't be taken care of for the rest of my life. I just want you to just give me a pot of gold. Bartimaeus says, no, I want you to make me whole so I can see. I'll earn my own income. I'll take care of myself. I'll do whatever I've got to do. I just got to see. That truth came into his life when he knew that Jesus was passing by. He based everything upon the truth, threw off that beggar's garment, and received that day his sight. And if you want to receive the sight in your life to get rid of all that stuff, folks, you got to get rid of that garbage. I don't care if somebody told you from the womb you're stupid. You're fearfully and wonderfully created in the image of God. You're not stupid. You're blessed. I don't care if everybody said, look, you're from the wrong side of the tracks. You're from a family that ain't going to make it, man. You're not nothing. You're just poor white trash. You ain't never going to be nothing. I don't care what the world said. The Bible says you're blessed. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. The Bible says that God will do anything for you if you just believe him. But we can't ever believe him because we can't get to that place of truth because our brains are clogged up with what this world says you're supposed to be. Have you ever noticed, and I'm closing, I'm through, I'm putting it up. Have you ever noticed that the world on television always presents the guy? See, I'm gonna embarrass you here, and I'm gonna help you here. I'm gonna use you as my example. Have you ever noticed that the world always wants to make the perfect guy, like in the romance or whatever? You know, have you ever noticed that he's like Mr. Perfect Bod, Bowflex Man, you know, whatever. Right? Am I right? That's what the world will say. And the girl is Miss Skinny Minnie, you know, just whatever, whatever, right? And that's happiness. And, oh. But see, just a while ago, I asked this guy, this little couple that I just, the last ones I just married. I asked Jody, I said, man, you know, do I need to whack him around? Is Chad doing okay? I mean, I need to take care of him, you know. Is he all right? He's a keeper. She said, I was even sick last week, and he made me soup. And I said, see, now where's that being presented in the world? That means that he's walking in truth. Where's that being presented in the world? No, the world wants to see what we look like on the outside. And I'm telling you, folks, you got to get the truth done on the inside of you. Because it's the truth that's on the inside that propels you through life. And the point is, and the reason why I said that about them, is that's the right way to do it. And thank God as a young couple, they had enough sense to have truth in their life. Folks, listen to me. Quit listening to the lie of the enemy. Quit listening to what the devil tells you. Quit listening to his garbage and his trash. Start listening to what the Word tells you. That's the truth that sets you free. Amen? Amen. Put your Bibles up and stand to your feet, please. Now, folks, just let me pray for just a second. Because I believe there's some of you in here this morning that you need truth in your life. And I just want to pray a general prayer over you because it's between you and Jesus. But I believe that the anointing of God is strong enough in here today to break you free and into truth. Break you free from the lie of the enemy if you want it. And so I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you want to be walking in truth and grab hold of this prayer, bow your heart to the Lord and grab hold of this thing in Jesus' name. But Father, right now I pray that we would not be people that would walk, Lord, in the lie of the enemy. Lord, we'd not walk in error, but we'd walk in truth. And I pray right now, Father God, that every lie that's ever been sowed in any heart or in any mind in this building, that, Lord, right now, that would be broken in Jesus' name. And every curse that's ever been pronounced upon a person, every evil word that's ever been spoken over a person, every lie that the enemy has sowed through whatever circumstance or situation in life, through failure from bankruptcy, through failure from just bad parents, through failure of whatever, right now, in the name of Jesus, that curse and that lie would be broken over every person, and that we would be able to stand here before you, Lord God, free, ready to receive truth into our lives. Father, I pray right now that through this message and through what you're going to, by the Holy Spirit, speak to the people in the days ahead, that you would begin to burn truth within their hearts, that no longer that lie takes precedent within their life, but the truth does. The truth of your word, Lord. So, Father, right now I praise you for that. And, Lord God, I thank you for that. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Everybody say, I'm free. Say, truth is mine. Amen. Can I have my prayer team, pastoral team, come down up here? I'm going to pray a dismissal prayer over you, but if you want some more prayer, we're here up front to pray with you today. Take the hand of the person beside you. Look at them and say, it feels good to be free. Father, I just declare that as we leave today, we leave, Lord, with joy in our hearts. Lord, and we thank you for all your truth in our lives. As we go out this week, give us the ability to speak to people, to tell people about your goodness, to tell people about how great you are, Jesus, and to just find more people and more people, Lord, to just tell them of you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hey, God bless you, and we're down here if you need prayer.